Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry, the Bahamas and USA.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation about seeing spirits with author Katie Hopkins. Do you kind of feel like that happened because you took that in with you as kind of a little protection, and it's like, so much for your protection? Kind of, maybe to show the power.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was just a way for him to show, like, a little stone isn't going to stop me,
right?
Almost. Which at that point, I mean, my husband and I have been in that building and have run out of that building many times. And so it wasn't a surprise, honestly. It wasn't a surprise that he could have that power, because we knew he was already pretty powerful, but it was really shocking when we saw that it had been shattered.
And I think as a good investigator, I would think, I'm not a good investigator, but I would think you need to know when to run out of a building.
Yes.
You know, that is an option to you, and sometimes you got to use it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You need to know your limits. You need to know your safety. My husband and I always used to say safety in numbers, because we used to investigate a lot of places, just him and I. He and I would go to the location I was talking about. He and I have been at Villisca by ourselves before. Johnny Hauser actually told us that we had the biggest balls he'd ever seen, because
because somebody else had left. Didn't you have somebody else with you and they left because they knew when to go, but you guys didn't. You guys stayed.
Yep. He was with us for a little bit, and then some things had happened over the ghost box, and he said, nope, I'm out. And Josh and I were like, no, we're going to stay for a little longer. You know, we drove 4 hours to be here. We're going to, and you know, we paid for it. We're going to get our money's worth. And we left about 2 a.m. From there. But yep, it was just Josh and I for probably a majority of that investigation.
One thing I found interesting that you said about the Villisca axe murder house, that you don't believe the murderer or the family are there, that the energy there is actually, in part anyway, been brought in by all of the thousands of people who have gone through there.
Yeah.
And maybe it could be an object or something that's in there, because people also leave things as well, you know, gifts for the kids and stuff. So you have to wonder, maybe there's something that's been brought in.
Oh, yeah. We know that there have been some different rituals done in the basement of Villisca. People would tell me I'm wrong, and that's okay. I don't care if they tell me I'm wrong. A lot of people say, no, the family's there, I have evidence, or the killer is there, I have evidence. Thing is, they don't know who the killer is. They still don't.
Right.
We can have our thoughts on who the killer was, but never has any evidence said that Reverend Kelly was the killer. Yeah, it signs point to it, but it's still not something set in stone. When we have been there and we have tried to use triggers of, you know, for the killer and the family, we don't get a lot. And I'm not going to say that just because we haven't gotten it, others haven't. I understand that. I've been in this field long enough to know everybody's going to get different evidence. And even at the Horridge House, we get different evidence than others, where they're like, man, we talked to George for 20 minutes. And I'm like, I've never talked to George once. And I've been at that house multiple times. But that's okay. You know, that's the great thing about this field, is that everybody gets something different. Now, in my book, when I would have said that, I probably, my thoughts on it change all the time. I hope I hope and pray the family's not there, because I hope they don't have to relive that every day.
I am with you on that. 100%.
Yeah. The killer, I could care less where he is. You know, I hope he's in a place where there's a lot of fire, but I really hope and pray the family does not have to live through that experience every single day.
Well, at least to move on. If you have to, you know, that's the most horrific thing that could have happened. Traumatizing, scary, and then it ends so horribly. That it seems like karma should allow you to move on and rest in peace. Whatever's next, that you shouldn't be stuck to that house where it happened. Yeah. That just seems so cruel to me.
Yeah.
So when you said that, I'm like, I hope she's right. I like to believe that.
Yeah. And you know, someone who I have my family of my own now, and it hurt. You know, when I was younger, it was such a sad story already, knowing children were taken in that. But being a mother now and having that side of it, it's just so hard to even fathom and think of. Yeah.
Now, you did say in the book, the paranormal field has shaped me as a person, both in the field and personally. Mm-hmm. So we've been talking about your husband, but actually through the paranormal field, that's how you met your husband.
It is.
So it literally has changed your life. Your kids are here because of the paranormal.
Yep, they sure are. They sure are. Yes. So Josh and I met in September of 2012. He was the tour guide at Edinburgh Manor. And I went with my team that I was with at the time. And Josh stayed to investigate with us that night. And we, of course, you know, after that, friended each other on Facebook and, you know, did all that. We really started to hang out more, though, in early 2013. I was with the same team and we were doing an event there, and we just hung out. We just started hanging out, and I started going to the manor with him and his family a lot, because we lived in the same city. We both lived in Cedar Rapids, and we were clearly right around the same age. And we were like, you know what? Now we've got some friends in the same area that like to do the same thing, and I'm not going to pass up going to Edinburgh with him and his family. So I went and enjoyed that. And the more we hung out, the more we just became friends. And we were friends for about a year and a half before we actually decided we wanted to make things official and start dating. But yeah, we've been married for 7 years now, and we've got two kids.
And the two of you have had some really intense experiences.
Yes, we have.
And there was one that you were at Buchanan County Hospital. Home. Was it a hospital or a home? I can't remember.
It was a home. Yeah,
okay.
It was Buchanan County Home. Yep.
And you said that experience changed the paranormal field for you forever.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little about that.
Yeah. So that was the place I was actually talking about earlier. And yes, the name is in the book, so so it's kind of not hidden. But yeah, so that is where I really figured out that I could kind of touch the other side. And when I mean touch the other side, that's when I had my first vision. I don't see spirit. I can't channel. I can't talk to them. But I can get certain almost messages sent to my head. It's weird. I know it sounds weird, but it happens. And I've had it confirmed on many multiple occasions that it's not me just, you know, being crazy. I had a vision of the guy that is on the back of the book walking down the stairs that we were sitting by at the time. And I had the vision. I knew something was up. I was like, this doesn't feel right. Like the energy just shifted. It was really dark. This guy ended up coming to, so the stairs we were on had a stairs going up. Then there was almost a landing, and then they went up to the second floor. And the guy had gotten down to the landing, and he wrapped his fingers around the wall and then kind of peeked around the wall to look at myself and my sister-in-law at the time. It was her boyfriend sitting on the floor, or sitting on the stairs with me. It was her boyfriend at the time. And I looked at him and I said, we need to get up. It doesn't feel right. We need to get up, because I knew this guy was going to start coming down the stairs. And I just had this all in my mind at the time. I wasn't telling anybody what I was seeing. I just said, it doesn't feel right. We need to get up. And so we got up, and then my sister-in-law, again, her boyfriend at the time, said, my back hurts. And we said, okay, well, let's take a look. He had a massive scratch on his back in the shape of an L, and there were three lines going across to like basically do the bottom part of the L. And I said, see what I mean? See what I was talking about, pretty much. But that's really what changed the paranormal world for me, is I figured out, like, oh my gosh, I saw that. Something happened when I saw that. So what does this mean? And I started talking to people that I trusted a lot in the field, mediums and different other holistic healers, things like that, just to try to get a better understanding of what happened. And they're like, you're an empath, Katie. And I said, oh, okay. Well, and they're like, well, what did you feel at the time? And I told them, they're like, yeah, you felt that guy's energy. You felt what he was going to do. And I said, okay, well, that's interesting. So we went on another investigation after that. And I just sat there. I kind of tried to start focusing a little bit more to see if I could do, you know, see, have anything kind of pop into my head. And it did. And it just kept continuing to grow from that day on in 2013 is when that happened. And that's really how it shaped me as a paranormal investigator for the future, is just because I am able to kind of tap into that. I don't do it as much anymore. There are still things that do come to me, but again, kind of getting out of the investigating all over the place. We're very focused on one location now. But also, again, as a mother, I try not to do that as much because I don't want to bring anything home with me.
Right.
So yeah. Yeah.
Now tell me about that. You said you focus more on one location now.
Mm-hmm.
And is that where you work?
The Horridge House.
Okay.
Yep.
So go back and listen to that episode, because there were some really great stories in the Horridge House episode, and we don't have to go through all of them again here. But also with kids, that does change. You know, when you think back to the Farrar school and the janitor, you don't want to have kids and have that happen. You don't want to have kids and be angry and short. And, you know, it's like, what's the matter with mom? I don't know. Yeah. Guess she brought home an attachment.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And it just, they mean more to me than the paranormal field means to me. And so that's why we've really kind of disengaged from multiple investigations, and you know, we'd rather be with them than investigating. We like a break every once in a while, but it's not worth some of the things that we know can happen, especially with like attachments or bringing something home and having it scare them.
One thing I did appreciate about the book is that you go into different locations and experiences you had at different locations, and then when you get to the back half of the book, you have like ghost hunting 101, becoming a paranormal investigator.
Yep.
And what is paranormal? History of the paranormal. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really interesting. You know, for someone who is listening to this and they would like to start, I do think it's wise not to just go, okay, let's see, I'll Google some stuff. I'll pick up that K2 meter and here's a spirit box and I'm going to go play with them.
Mm-hmm.
What would you suggest to someone who has an interest in doing some investigations? Because I think, you know, from someone like you who's experienced and your husband, you could have some really powerful words to help protect them as well.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I tell everybody the same thing, and I've been telling people this probably since 2014 when I really started getting active and doing lectures and presentations, and that is start getting involved in group investigation activities. So whether you see a paranormal team, and you know, do some research on your paranormal team, make sure that they've been in the field for, I would say, at least 2 to 3 years, because that means they hopefully have some experience under their belt. Look at their values as well. You know, look at their videos, look at what they're posting. Are they, you know, are they talking a lot about provoking? Are they talking a lot about, you know, being not so great with spirits? I probably steer clear of that one. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you get on Teams and you see, you know, we are just trying to communicate. We're trying to figure out what's on the other side. You know, we have the right reason to be in it. Those are great groups to support. Those are great groups to get out there and go to their investigations that they're holding at wherever it may be. Some of the groups, yes, you know, like our events, we do charge because we're a nonprofit organization. That's how we keep the lights on. When we did investigations previously with our paranormal group, which was called Unknown Darkness, we did charge like for events at Edinburgh Manor, but the money we didn't keep. We donated a portion of that back to the location owners for clearly hopefully going to upkeep and keeping the building running. Some of that, of course, did go to the investigators for one time spent, but to gas, you know, things like that. So looking at those kind of things, is the money, all the money that we have now, I guess I should say too, for Benton County Historical Society, that all goes back to them. Josh and I do not keep any of that. So any event that we host, that's all funds raised for the Historical Society. So those are some things I always tell people to look at too, is where's the money going that you're spending to enjoy some paranormal investigating? Mm-hmm. Cause we're very, very big in preserving the locations and making sure that they're staying structurally sound. But another thing I would, you know, my other advice would be go get yourself an audio recorder. That's going to be your best piece of equipment to go out and investigate. You can actually do it right from your phone. You don't even have to go to Walmart or Target anymore and get one. You can actually record right from your phone and it will pick up disembodied voices. Though that would be, again, another thing I would say, but really start off in group activities, get to know the way of investigating, seeing experienced people do it. And then, you know, maybe get a group of people that are interested, go out to a location on your own, give it a try. Don't provoke, don't be a jerk. That's not the way you're going to get spirits to come out. Even in locations that would have had that kind of activity when they were up and running, like prisons and places like that, it's still not the way to get a spirit's attention. Be cordial, just try to have a conversation.
Now, what about being an empath? Because mm-hmm. you're an empath, and you say in the book, we all have empathic abilities. And I yep. do agree with you. I think so often, though, we're so busy and so focused on everything else going on in the world because we're bombarded mm-hmm. with information all day long, that if you can clear out the noise, I think mm-hmm. a lot of people have a lot more ability than what they think they do.
Yeah, absolutely. And some people are more in tune with it than others. How I always tell people to look at it is if you walk into a room and you walk into a room of people who are having fun, they're bubbly, they're excited, what's that going to do to your energy? It's going to make it bubbly, excited, you're having fun, you're probably going to feel more positive. Where on the opposite side, you walk into a room and maybe you get a lot of sourpusses and, you know, everybody's negative, that's going to affect your energy as well. That's being an empath. It really is. Now, being able to sense that energy from something you can't see, that's a little different, maybe a little more advanced type of empathic abilities. But and I even want to like the word advanced, because anybody can go into a room and feel energy. Mm-hmm. It just depends on how much you're willing to let that energy in to be able to know if you can sense it from spirit.
See, that's where I get all freaked out, Katie, because I can really feel a lot of it. You know, I get so many feelings and I pick up people's energies and I get all that. But it's when I go into a place, then I get kind of afraid of like your janitor experience.
Yeah.
I don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
And so then I know I'm shutting stuff down and maybe things aren't getting through that could be more positive because I'm mm-hmm. so afraid there's a creepy janitor guy hanging around.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah.
So I don't know the best way to, for someone like me to ever really open up. Mm-hmm. Or is it dangerous kind of too to really open up?
Yeah.
You know, kind of a fine line there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I do think a lot of people have the ability and they don't take the time mm-hmm. to really slow down enough that, you know, because if you can go to a party and you go, oh, God, there's that guy. He's horrible. You know, you can just tell that guy. You might not have ever met him before in your life, but you know, you know. And you're like, well, I know that guy from experience. I've met 10 guys like him in my life. But right. You're also kind of going with that feeling that you're getting. You're picking up his energy.
Yep, absolutely.
So it's kind of like going into a paranormal location, you know, an active location, I should say, where you're walking into the party with a group of people you really don't know who's there. Mm-hmm. You're not friends with them. Now, the book I got on Amazon, it's Seeing Spirits, Opening the Empathic Door. I downloaded it on my Kindle. Super easy to do. And it has the pictures, like the scratch you were talking about a little bit ago. That's there. You can see all that. But you also have some other books, too.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got one about the Iowa corridor.
Yep.
And that would be kind of where in Iowa again?
So that's around the Cedar Rapids area, Cedar Rapids, Hiawatha, Marion, Iowa City. I even talk a little bit about kind of the outskirts of the corridor, like Cedar Falls. I talk about going to UNI, University of Northern Iowa. But those areas, Benton County, where the Horridge House is, those are all in that book.
Do you think there's anything that happened along that corridor? Like I told you in the last episode, for some reason, I think Iowa is haunted. Like, it just seems like y'all got a lot of locations in Iowa that are really haunted. Do you have any kind of speculation on why that might be? Is it just in my head?
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of history here. Some of it great, some of it not so great. I mean, we have a lot of Native American history, which definitely, I think, puts a catalyst to paranormal activity, very spiritual people. You know, it's hard to pinpoint one thing for sure. But I definitely just think it's part of the rich history. I mean, being so close to, I'm a big Civil War buff. So a lot of the times I revert to Civil War. You know, we were just north of the Mason-Dixon line. We were Union, but not super far from where the Mason-Dixon line was in Kansas and Missouri, excuse me. You know, it's hard to pinpoint what it is, but I think too, a lot of people flock here for it because we have so many paranormal locations that you can investigate.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of it alludes to the history, but also just, I think the interest has probably brought it here as well.
And you have another book as well.
Yes.
And that one is?
I have two others. I have Visions from the Afterlife. Visions from the Afterlife was written right after the first Seeing Spirits book. Then it was the Iowa corridor. And then I have From Past to Present, The History of Benton County, Iowa.
That would be, I would like that one because I am such a history buff. I need to read that one too.
Yeah, it's great. It goes through a lot of the pioneers of Benton County. It goes through a lot of the creation of Benton County, which also involves a lot of crime and murder and things like that. There's a lot of really interesting history in that book. And in Benton County.
I would imagine that was for you kind of fun to write.
It was, yeah.
Because you get to do research.
I got to use a lot of resources that I have at the Historical Society, so that was really cool.
And all of them, I do believe, you can get through Amazon or wherever books are sold.
Yep, Amazon would probably be the best place. I do have some Benton County books on hand. So feel free to reach out to us on Facebook if you're interested. It's just the Horridge House at Benton County Historical Society Paranormal Tours. And I'd be happy to send you one. It clearly the cost, but I'd be happy to sign it and send it.
And go back and listen to the Horridge House episode because it was really interesting. And you do tours there and you do regular historical tours and paranormal, correct?
Yeah. Yep, we do. The historical tours would be by appointment only. We are open for genealogy research on Wednesdays from 1 to 4. And I'm sure that the individuals there would be happy to give a tour. But if you want a tour from myself or Josh or even our president, that would be by appointment only. And then the investigation tours, you would sign up online.
I think that would be fun. I would love to come. I don't know if I'm brave enough for the investigation tour, but I could sure do the historical tour because I love that stuff. Yeah. Katie, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to talk to me. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Carol. Anytime. Love chatting with you.
And we'll circle back and talk about the Iowa corridor here before
Perfect.
Long.
I'll be ready.
And that wraps up our conversation with Katie Hopkins about her book, Seeing Spirits, Opening the Empathic Door. You can get the book on Amazon or wherever books are sold. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, then you could become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there, also all ad free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you so much for listening.